Well, good morning, everyone.
I do want to extend a welcome to a brother visiting from the Boston Church. His name is Lucas, sir. Is that right? Lucas? Where is Lucas? It's good to have you with us. He's here for a week, and so you get a chance to reach out to him in the fellowship. The Rowdens are away this morning. Jemima, oh, excuse me. The men in the Rowden family are away this morning. Daniel is competing. He's representing Great Britain and Northern Ireland in the track meets taking place in Loughborough. And Paul went with him, and Jemima stayed with us. You know, we actually have some other athletes in the congregation as well. You know, I think it was just last week, was it Tor and Sarah Steele ran the half marathon, is that right? I've got a picture, but this was them in the middle of the night, and now here we are in the daytime. Nothing's happening. Oh, there we go. Yes. And of course, you know, just a few weeks ago we announced that James Azilo got his black belt in karate, which was really awesome. I want to show you a video clip of another athletic young fella in the congregation, and that's our brother Calvin Neville Kintu. Who just recently found out, in fact, actually just this week, he found out that he was offered a full scholarship to go to university in America on a basketball scholarship. I think this is one of the videos that they saw which helped them make that decision. But can we just go ahead and play that? See, I wish I was as good as Calvin at that age. I wish I was as good as that at any age, to be honest. You know, his scholarship includes not just tuition fees, but accommodation and travel and flights and food. And I mean, it's pretty good. Also want to welcome another brother visiting from Port Harcourt in Nigeria, a brother by the name of John. Is that right? It's good to have you with us as well. Fantastic. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul says in verse 13, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong." We sometimes sing a song, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong." And this is where it comes from, and of course it's "do everything in love" is the next verse. But Paul tells us, "Be men of courage, be strong." What does it actually mean to be strong? You know, in the Bible, we are encouraged to be strong. I think something like over 30 times in Scripture, the God's people are just given the charge to be strong. 12 times it's "be strong and courageous." You know, back in the, I think it's like the 3rd or 4th century BC, when they were translating some of the Old Testament into the New Testament, into the Greek, they got the. The story goes that they had something like 70 or 72 scholars who translated the Hebrew Bible into Greek, the language of the day, so that they could put it in a library in Alexandria. But when they translated those passages, most of the passages they translated from Hebrew, where it says "be strong," they use the Greek, same Greek verb that Paul uses right here when he says "be men of courage, be strong." It's a Greek word, andritsomahi, which means "act like a man." Act like a man. In Greek culture, the emphasis on manliness was such a big thing. And, you know, for sometimes we don't really know exactly what does it really mean to be manly. You know, when I look around the congregation, I think, well, who's a good example of someone who's manly? Well, of course, I'd look at Tosin. He's a man's man. He plays rugby. He's big. He's strong. He's muscular. He's fit. In fact, his dad is even bigger than he is. And Julie and I, we just got back recently from a staff retreat in the Belfast church. And whenever Tosin's dad, Tokes, gets up to speak, preach, do an announcement, or even to song lead, he has this commanding presence as he walks up to the front. He's like one of these giant panthers walking in front of the podium, and you give him your full attention. And I was really struck by this because just recently, as we were in our Belfast retreat, we had Totes come to the front to song lead, and in the corner of the room there was a baby that was about a year old. Was lying in its pram, and Totes got up and he said, "Now we're going to sing," and this baby suddenly sat up. And this is us in Belfast. Hold on a second, let me get this back. This is us in Belfast. There's Jack singing, as you can see, and this is Brother Ronnie, leads the church in Oslo, and this is Maggie Miller from Manchester Church. Here's Chevy from Ireland, from Thames Valley. But this little baby here, I took this on my iPhone, that's why it's not very clear, but Toke started singing and this baby was like, "What?" But when we think of the worldly concept, what does it mean to be strong? Oftentimes we can think of, you know, someone who is big or tall or muscular or very talented or very skillful in one way or another. What he says here in this, he says we've got to be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. It's really about being strong in the Lord that Paul is referring to. You know, that verb he used there, "be strong," it's in the passive. It can be translated to "be made strong." And ultimately, our strength comes from God. Look over in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6.
And starting in verse 10, a passage that is familiar to most, if not all of us, Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." I've only got 2 points in the message this morning, and point number one is simply be on your guard. Be on your guard. You know, Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, "Be alert, and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." You know, when Paul writes back in Ephesians 6, "Be strong in the Lord," and he says your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Be on your guard. Sometimes we think our struggle as Christians or our struggle in life has to do with material or physical things. Paul says you're in a spiritual battle. You're in a spiritual war. And he says your devil is like a roaring lion. He prowls around looking for whom he can devour. That's why in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, be on your guard. When we were kids, we used to find these little branches and sticks and pretend they were swords. We grew up watching these movies like Zorro or Errol Flynn in his sword fighting. And none of you know what that means, do you? But us older generation, yes. We appreciate those old black and white movies. And myself and my brothers, we'd have our little sticks there pretending they're our swords. And we'd be like, on guard. And you know, that was actually it's a French term used in fencing, but it simply is similar to the English, on guard, get ready, watch out. You know, one of Satan's biggest strategies is for people to be unaware of what's really going on. And, you know, for most of the world, we get sucked into this, we're living for what's around us, what we can see. And we can easily be deceived into thinking that all that exists is only what we can see. When the Bible tells us that there's a whole unseen world out there that we are a part of. That we are not just flesh and blood, but all of us, we are spiritual beings as well. And as we grow older, the Bible tells us that our physical side of our bodies, it's fading away. And one day it will give way to just the spiritual. And 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "I'll tell you a secret, that flesh and blood does not inherit heaven, but it's the spiritual side." And you know, when you're young, you may feel like, hey, I quite like my body. As you get older, you start to appreciate more and more God's plan that your body's going to disappear and you're going to have a spiritual body. And we look forward to that. I look forward to that. That's going to be encouraging and exciting. But whilst we are here on earth, we are in a battle. We are in a battle, and it's not just a physical one, it's a spiritual one. And we can get so easily distracted by the physical attractions of this world and the distractions of this world and not realize that what's really important is what comes next. Because the Bible tells us that what we see around us, all of this, it's temporary. It doesn't last. And it's incredible how much importance we can place on material things when they have no eternal significance. Now, I'm not saying that we should ignore everything that's material around us. That's not what I'm saying. The reality is that there are some things we just have to do. You know, we have to work for a living so we can buy food, so we can pay our rent and feed ourselves and take care of our family. These are things we have to do. And those are important. If you're a student, you have to study. You've got exams, you got to prepare for those things. And that's just life. But all too often, we get so worked up about things that really don't last. That ultimately, the only thing that really matters is making sure that spiritually we are right with God. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says that physical training is of some value. We're not ascetics. We're not, let's just focus on the spiritual and let's go around just talking spiritual terms all the time. Now, there is some value in the physical. But he goes on to say that spiritual training has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come, verse 8. You know, we've got to understand our priorities. We've got to understand what's really important. We need to be strong in the Lord. We need to be on our guards. We need to recognize that Satan is looking to devour us. And we've got to have a spiritual mindset. What does that mean? It means that we've got to set our focus on things above. Paul talks about this in Colossians chapter 3. Have a look over there. In Colossians 3. And he says in verse 1, he says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Now he says that we need to set our hearts and set our minds on things above. That ultimately, we're looking forward to Jesus' reappearance. And then when he reappears, then that's when our real life begins. But for now, whilst we are living in this world, we've got to make sure we have a spiritual perspective. We've got to make sure that we have a spiritual focus. We've got to decide that ultimately, that seeking first God and his kingdom is going to be our number one priority. The incredible thing is this, when we are on our guard, when we do recognize that the spiritual is what we need to be focusing on, then the physical gets taken care of. Jesus says, if you seek first the kingdom, he says, all these other things will be given to you as well. Let's not get sucked into a lie. Let's not get sucked into the mindset of the world. But instead, let's have a spiritual mindset. You know, point number two is we need to stand firm in the faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians 1, Paul says in verse 8, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." You know, Paul says that, "I don't want you to be unaware of the troubles we had to deal with. We were under intense pressure, even to the point of death." This morning I found out that my cousin, his baby daughter was stillborn yesterday. You know, life is filled with all kinds of challenges and stresses. Bereavement, the death of a loved one, is on any list you would look up. It's the number one cause of pain and stress as we go through life. Number one. Anyone want to hazard a guess as to what number two is? Marriage. I hope that wasn't a married person who said that. Actually, divorce, actually, is usually number two in the list, or marriage separation is usually number two. If there have been various polls done, various lists put together, and typically the top 10 are, sometimes they change, but for the most part they stay the same, although the order may vary. But usually divorce is up there, bereavement is certainly up there. Any other guess as to what else is in the top 10? Moving house. Unbelievable. Moving house is usually in the top 5 stresses in life. Anything else? Was that exams? Actually, no. but job loss, being fired from your work, is in the top 10 usually. Any others? health. Health is usually, again, in the top five. Serious health or injury is again, considered to be one of the significant stressors in life. Anything else? Loss of money, perhaps, but money itself is usually not very stressful. Go ahead. Getting audited. Going on holiday. you know what? That's the kind of stress I don't mind, honestly, seriously. I could live with that. But it's not normally in the top 10, although, let's be honest, it can be stressful. Any other thoughts? What's that? Natural disaster. It's not usually listed in one of the top 10, although for people involved in that, of course, that would involve things like loss of house, bereavement, injury, and so it can combine all of those other ones. That's true. You know what? Getting married. Getting married is usually up there. And so at this time, we're just going to say a prayer for Mark and Nelly right now. And but that's, funnily enough, that's considered to be one of the top five stressors in life, getting married. And usually when you get married, you move home as well. So it's a double whammy. But as we go through the various challenges that life throws at us, you know, the fact is we're all going to face these challenges, whether we are Christians or not. But what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 1 is that we went through some very difficult times, but this happened, and he's looking now from a spiritual perspective, these things happened so that we might rely on God who raises the dead. You know, we're all going to go through challenges in life. Whether you want to believe in God or not, whether you want to be a Christian or not, you are going to go through challenges. But I'll tell you one thing. Going through those challenges with God on your side is significantly different to going through those challenges without God. And if you are committed to following God's plan and God's path, then a lot of these challenges you can avoid. One of the stresses that they list in these top 10 is going to prison. There's a difference between going to prison for doing something wrong and going to prison for your faith. Paul went to prison for his faith, and he could write and say, hey, I can rejoice always. I'm content. But you can avoid some stresses. You can avoid some challenges if you simply rely on God. But even when those you can't avoid, when God is with you, what a difference. You know, these last few years, going through a period of ill health for me, it's been a challenge. And it's taught me that I need to learn to depend on God so much more. When I went through the loss of my mother some years ago, that was an incredibly dark time for me. But the thing that helped me was just the support of brothers and sisters in the church, and particularly from Julie, my wife. My brothers, they went through that same bereavement, but they didn't have the same level of support. And so for them, it was so much more challenging. Both of them ended up going through relationship breakups around that time. And I can't help but think that some of that was they weren't handling just the stress. You know, we have a choice. We can allow our challenges to cause us to go towards God or to go away from God. And what Paul encourages us is to stand firm. He went through his challenges, but for him, it caused him to rely more on God. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6, he writes, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I'd be speaking the truth, but I refrain, so no one will think of me more than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak,
then I am strong.
What do we boast of? Paul says, hey, I'm going to boast about my weaknesses because I know that my weaknesses, they cause me to rely on God. It's when I am weak, that's when Christ's power rests on me. And so I'm going to share about my weaknesses and I'll talk about my weaknesses. Why? Because when I'm weak, then I am strong. I don't like to be weak. The things I like to talk about or boast about are things that encourage me. I like, for example, when we went on this Boston trip recently. You know, we went out for dinner with Doug and Joyce Harper. Doug is the brother who studied the Bible with me many years ago and planted London Church back in the early 80s. And he asked us, hey, where would you guys like to go for dinner? Julie said, I'd like to go for an Italian meal. And so Joyce made a reservation at this Italian restaurant near where we were staying, a place called Papa Razzi. But it was a really plush restaurant. When we got there, I was so glad I wore a jacket, just because it was one of those really nice places. And the Arthurs were treating us, and I thought, wow, that's really nice. And when we got there, the owner of the restaurant, he said, actually, we've just gone through a refurbishment, and so we've just reopened the restaurant today. And as a result, all the food is free tonight.
Oh, God is good.
We thought it was a prank, so we asked two other people. They all agreed, yes, it's all free. And they gave us these restaurants, these menus, and all the menus had no prices on them. So we ordered a lot of food. In fact, you saw the starters, we thought, I'll try that. In fact, I'll try that. And I think we ordered 5 starters, but the main course, I had lobster. Well, hey, what do you do? And Doug had his fillet steak, but it was amazing. The food was utterly incredible. And afterwards, they came and they showed us what the bill would have been. $254 for the four of us. And we had so much food left over, they gave us doggy bags. And of course, it was all free. That was amazing. I like talking about things like that. What do you like talking about? Paul says, I'll talk about my weaknesses. I'll talk about my struggles. I'll talk about those things. Why? Because then the emphasis isn't me, it's God. I don't like to be weak. Very few of us do. But you know, when we are weak, that's when we are strong. A few weeks ago, you know, I've started going back to the gym, trying to get back into shape. And I went to the gym, and you know what? I started to struggle. There was a woman on the treadmill in front of me, and I was so tempted just to lust. I came home, and I first thing I did was tell my wife. I said, honey, I was at the gym today, and I was struggling with lust. You know what Julie said? She said, thank you. And she gave me a hug. And, she said, I really appreciate you just being open. You know, that's not natural. That's not natural. It's not just for me. I know for a lot of us, we struggle with just this area of just being vulnerable, of being seen to be weak. But you know, when we are weak, that's when we are strong. There's only 2 points today. I would have gone for be men of courage, but we don't have time. But be on your guard. What you see is not what it's all about. There's an unseen world, and Satan is out there looking to devour your soul. And if you're unaware, then let me encourage you, study the Bible with someone so you can find out what's really going on. And secondly, just stand firm. Regardless of the challenges you go through, regardless of the hardships, let those cause you to go to God and not away from God. You know, there's a saying that the strongest people are not those who show strength in front of us, but those who in battles we know nothing about. Now, we have so many great examples of people in the congregation who go through difficult times, but they don't make a song and dance about it. They stand firm in the faith. They trust in God. They're open. They share their struggles.
But their battles are what enable them to be great examples, the ones that are unseen. You know, I want to encourage us, let's be strong in the Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Mike. It's my job to close the meeting today. I want to thank Mike for sharing those thoughts with us. I know the first point, being strong, and just this idea of a spiritual battle. It's very helpful for me because I have to recognize and stop to think about what's happening through the day. I have to really... So when I'm in an interaction with my wife or with a customer or their financial issues or... It's very tempting for me to jump into the world's physical, everything's physical, and let me deal with this and deal with that, and not really have a spiritual perspective. And it really, I have to work every morning. Every morning I have a quiet time. Every morning I try to get into a place of my mind where I recognize God is God, and that God is bigger than me, and that I need to talk to people in a certain way, that I need to be honest in my interactions. I need to serve. And it's that fighting in the morning that helps me get through the day. Because if I just go into the day thinking it's the physical, I will really offend people. I will stumble. I will struggle. And so I'm just talking about me, okay? None of you may experience these things. But I need to recognize it's a spiritual issue, that God is powerful, that God is able, that God is... He knows what He's doing, and I need to figure out the how to move through an area of pain. And so that's for me very helpful, just to be aware that it's a spiritual battle. I think standing firm in the faith, and Mike shared about being vulnerable, and I think it was helpful because I've stopped sharing some things in my life. I think I can handle them, or I don't need to talk about them, or it's a recurring theme, so let me not talk about them. And I think Mike just helped me to realize in the scriptures, just boasting about my weaknesses, just being aware of if I was deceitful, to be able to share that with someone. I misled someone. Or if I was angry in an ungodly way, to be able to share that. Or if I'm lustful, which is certainly a challenge as the weather changes, to be able to share the challenges. And the great thing about what Mike was sharing is just this whole idea that our time here is limited. And he was right. As younger people, I used to think, I like my body. I'm doing all right. I still like my body, amen? Even though it's changed shape and direction. But certainly, as I get older, one brother is pulling his tummy out like this. Bro, repent. But as I get older, I think, and I know it's a reality of life. We will move on. It is important, I think, certainly for the younger ones to you sometimes think that you're never going to get there. It's just around the corner, a few years away. Don't assume it's not going to happen to you. So be spiritual now. Don't wait till you get a bit older. Thanks, Mike, for the lesson. Thank you very much. And let me encourage us all to put it into practice. We're going to have a final song. Let's all stand. And it's appropriately named When We All Get to Heaven. We'll sing only the first three verses. Also, just a final announcement. There are cakes that Michelle is selling for special contribution at the back of the hall after the service.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day!